Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Yod Tet Amud Aleph, and we're about to take a look at the next sugya. But as I mentioned earlier, this sugya is a commentary on Mishnah Bet. So we have to go back to the beginning of the parak for a moment and study Mishnah Bet properly, and then we'll go ahead to Daf Yod Tet Amud Aleph to pick up where we left off. And that is as follows. Hamelech, lo dan velo daninoto. A king does not judge, nor can he be judged. Lo me'id velo me'idinoto. He cannot testify, nor do others testify in his case. Lo choletz velo chotzin lishto. He does not give chalitza if his brother's wife died and his brother was childless. If his brother died and left a widow and he was childless. Velo chotzin lishto. If he dies, his wife does not get chalitza. Lo mi'abem velo mi'abin lishto. He doesn't do yibum. Nor, if he dies, does anybody do yibum on his wife. Rabbi Yehuda mer im ratzal achlotz oli abeim zachur latov. Here, Rabbi Yehuda says that if a kohen if the melech decides that he will do chalitza or yibum, that's a good thing. It's praiseworthy. Amru lo en shomin lo. Chachamim disagreed and they said no, we don't allow him to do it. We'll see why in the Gemara. Ein nosin almanato. We certainly cannot marry his widow. Not because of yibum. They had kids, but his widow is never to be married again. Rabbi Yehuda omer noseh melech almanato shel melech. He slightly disagrees or so and says that a king may marry the widow of another king. And what's his proof? Shekin matzino b'David shenasa almanato shel Shaul. That David married Shaul's almana. Shenemar v'atnalachat beit adonach v'nashe adonach v'chekecha. They're interpreting the pasuk when Natan gives the diatribe to David. They're interpreting the pasuk that I gave you your master's wives to lie with, meaning that it's a reference to Shaul. The simplest explanation of that pasuk really is a reference to Avigail, who was the wife, of course, of Naval, who related to David as a servant of his. And he ended up marrying Avigail. But there is another point that the one wife that we know of Shaul was named Achinoam, and David's first wife, after the Michal piece falls apart, which we'll take a look at now, was also named Achinoam Hayizraelit. So whether it's the same woman or not is unclear. It seems like it's not. Okay, now back to Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the Gemara. Melech Lodan, Amar of Yosef, Loshan Malchei Yisrael, he says that this prohibition or this limitation that a king does not judge or be judged is only true about Malchei Yisrael, which means it's a cognomen, even though it normally refers to the kings of the north. It means any king that's not from Beit David. Machay Beit David dan v'nadinotan. But a king of Beit David can be a judge and can be judged. Dichtiv, how do I know that? Beit David kom Adonai dinu levokim mishpat. We saw this pasuk invoked in the first parak that Hashem says to Beit David, judge in the morning. V'ilo dainin ale inu echidaini. And we saw this earlier with the Kohen. If the king can't be judged, then how can he judge? And the famous drasha of Shlokish, kashet atzmacha v'chakach kashet acherim. You cannot tell somebody else to ordain, to adorn themselves till you adorn them until you adorn yourself, which means you have to be somebody who can be judged to judge others. So Malchei Yisrael, my time alone. So what's the reason that we do not allow Malchei Yisrael to judge or be judged, or be witnesses, or be subject of testimony? Because of a story. The Alexander Yanai's servant, one of his servants, killed somebody. So Shimon Shetach turned to the Chacham. Shimon Shetach was his brother-in-law, remember, the king. Let's judge him. So they sent the message to Yanai, saying, your servant killed somebody. Shadre Luhu, send him to us. Shalchule, and then they sent a message. You have to be here also. Vuad bivalav, and they borrow a pasuk from Nizke Shor that the Amratoraya vobala shor v'yamarol shoro. Just like when an ox attacks and kills somebody, the master has to stand there and be attested to that he didn't watch carefully. Same thing with you. So they demand that the king comes to the beitin. Atav yativ, Yanai came. Amel Shimon Shetach, he said to him, Yanai Melech, Amor Oraglacha v'yidu b'cha, stand up and we'll testify against you. V'lo l'faneinu ataomed, elam l'fnei misham arvayahu olam ataomed. And this is clearly a power play between the Hasmonean king and the rabbis. And Shimon Shetach says, you're not standing in front of us, you're standing in front of the Creator. Shinemar v'amdu shnei anashim ashalem ariv l'fnei Adonai. Amar lo loch shetomar ata, So Yanai turns to his brother-in-law and says, I'm not going to listen to you. I want to hear what your other colleagues say. Look to his right, and all the other rabbis, all the other dayanim, put their heads down. Same thing to his left. So none of the chachamim were willing to stand up and support Rishim and Shetach. You guys have all sorts of thoughts. And so the one who has master of all the thoughts should come and take exact punishment from you. So Gavriel came and pushed them all on the ground, killed them, umetu. And then they made the rule that a king cannot be brought to court because it just leads to all of this power stuff. Okay, back to chalitza. Lo cholitz v'lo cholzin? Eini? Is that true? This question is really on Rabbi Yehuda, who said that if the king wants to go ahead and give chalitza or yibum, he may, and it's a good thing. But remember, we have the sugi in kedushin. Afilu man damar nasish machal kvodok vanu machul. The sugi builds up. Ha'av shemachal kvodo, ha'rav shemachal kvodo, ha'beitin nasish shemachal kvodo, and then ha'melach shemachal kvodo. But even the one who says that a nasi can forgive his kavod, melach shemachal kvodo ain't kvodo machul. But everybody agrees that a melach can't do that. Shemar tosom tasim alecha melach. Hashem says, if you want a king, you better place a real king. Shtei mato alecha, a king that you really fear. The king cannot forgive his kavod. The answer is mitzvah shani. Perhaps here, because doing a mitzvah, we will allow him to forego his kavod and do the mitzvah of yibum or chalitza. Okay, then we said, ein nosin amanato. Tanya, merula lo Rabbi Yehuda. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, nashim haruyot lo mbet hamelach. You know what it means when Hashem said, neshe adonecha? It doesn't mean widows of a king. It means daughters of a king who are appropriate to you. Umay ninu meravu michal. So now we're positing that David was actually married to Merav and also married to Michal. Which, of course, is a problem on two levels. One level is, the text says explicitly he wasn't married to Merav, and the second thing is, Merav and Michal are sisters. So now, Shalut HaMedavid Rabbi Yossi, and this is all in Shmuel Aleph Perek, Yodchet, Yotet. Shalut HaMedavid Rabbi Yossi, Hayach Matzah David Shtei Achayot B'chayen, how could David marry two sisters, meaning marry a sister, and then while that sister's alive, marry the other one? Well, then Michal, Achar Mitat Merav Nasa. So now we have to posit that Merav died soon after she married Adriel, after she was married to David, evidently. And then he married Michal, because you can marry the sister after the other one dies. He says, no, Merav lived, but the original Kiddushin with Merav were in error. He was never married to her. Because David said when he came to, this is now when he says to Ishbosheth, I want my wife back, and I married her with 100 of the foreskins of the Plishtim. Remember the deal that he made with Shaul? So my Talmud, what does this mean? Our Papa, Michal Ishti, meaning he said Michal Ishti, v'lo Merav Ishti. I only have one wife that's a part of Beit Shaul, and that's Michal. So evidently, my Kiddushe Ta'ut, what was the Ta'ut? Tichti, v'aya ish ha-shaykenu, yashon ha-melech osha gadol. What was the deal? Back in the War of Goliath, the king had announced, anybody who kills Goliath, the king will enrich, and he will give him his daughter. Azal Katle, so David went and killed Goliath. Amarlo, milve itlach gabai. So the king said, okay, I owe you. From Makadosh Milva and Mekudeshet. And Makadosh Milva, we know, is not Mekudeshet. Right? In other words, I owe you. And now, because I owe you, because you killed Goliath, and now that Kiddushin is no good, which means you have to now give something new for Kiddushin. So Azal Yava Ladriel. And Shaul, because he didn't like David, gave her to somebody else. Tichtiv, Ayiba Etet and Mirab, Bat Shaul David, and now Ladriel ben Mecholati Lisha. Instead, she was given to Adriel Mecholati on the other side of the Yan Mecholah. On the other side of the Jordan. Amarle iboyi to eten lach Michal. Then Shaul said, if you want me to marry Michal, zil eten ayo lor plishtim. Then go get me the foreskins of the plishtim. Of course, Shaul's intent was that David will go to war against the plishtim and be killed, and he won't have to kill him himself. That's what he says. Lo velo tiyeh yadibo. Azal aitile. David went and he killed and he brought 200. Amarle milva pruta ilach kabai. He says, oh, now it's milva pruta. In other words, the milva that I owe you, Michal, plus the pruta that you're giving me. Shaul savar milva pruta date a milva. We have the sugi in the second paragraph of Kiddushin. When you're kaddish b'milva, mean you're mochal a halva, and you give money, that the real intent is on the milva. But David savar milva pruta date a pruta. And David, they had a disagreement in halacha, and David said that the machshov is on the pruta. V'ibayi teima de kuliyama milva pruta date a pruta. Perhaps everybody agrees with that. Shaul savar lo chazu v'lo midi. He said these orlot are not worth anything. They're worth less than a pruta. You can give them to dogs and cats, they'll eat them. Rabbi Yossi, okay, good. So now Rabbi Yossi, hi, Tanat Ishtiyat Michal, my Darishbe. What does Rabbi Yossi, who had the other take on this, that Meirav had died, and so therefore this entire take about Kiddushei Ta'ut, what does he do with this one? He says, Michal Ishti. Rabbi Yossi the Tameh, the Tameh, Rabbi Yossi Ayah Doresh Mikraot Muravin. Rabbi Yossi used to darshan psukim from one place to the other, kind of informing each other. Ktiv, Aikach Hamel Chet Shtei Vene Mitzpah Vataya, Sheyaldah L'Shaul Tadmoni Vet Mifimosh Vel Chamesh Vene Michal Sheyaldah L'Duyamu Cholati. This is in the story of the famine that happened, and David was finally told by Hashem the famine is happening because of the Givonim that Shaul massacred, and he went to the Givonim and they said, we want seven of Shaul's descendants to kill them. So who did David choose? So this is who he chose. But among them was Bnei Michal Asher Yaldah L'Adriel, which is wrong, because Michal wasn't married to Adriel. Adriel nitnava, lo lefalti ben laish nitna. Michal was married to Palti. Tichtiv, Shaul, Natan, and Michal bito, Eshet David, lefalti ben laish. Ela makish, kudushe Meirav L'Adriel, kudushe Michal lefalti. What's the text doing here? It's comparing Meirav's marriage to Adriel to Michal's marriage to Palti. Now, Michal's marriage to Palti was illegitimate because she was married to David, and then when Shaul got mad, he gave her to Palti. Magrishem Michal Palti Ba'Avera, it's wrong. Magrishem Mirav L'Adriel Ba'Avera. And so in the same way, that's what Rabbi Yossi is going to do and say, that that Mirav really was married properly to David, and then Mirav died, and then he married Michal, and her marriage to Adriel was really a sin because she was married to David. So what does he do with that? So what is he going to do with this odd pasuk that has the wrong mother? So he says a different lesson. Meirav is the mother of these kids. Meirav Yaldav, but since she died early, Michal raised them. The fichach nikru al shma, they were called Michal's children. Teach you a fantastic lesson that if somebody raised an orphan, it's as if they gave birth to them. And now that takes us back to this. Meaning, I learned that lesson from here. When Rut had the baby, then the Greek chorus, as it were, that's in the story at the end of Perek Aleph and at the beginning and middle of Perek Dalet of Rut, the women who are standing there said, Yulad Bein LeNaomi, as if Naomi's had a child, even though Naomi is not even really technically related to this child. Since Naomi was going to raise this child, it's called Naomi's child. It's a different pasuk. Remember, we had this in the beginning of Batra, at the end of the first parak. So Mered's a kalev. That's the famous drasha. He's called Mered because he rebelled against the rest of the meraglim. Didn't give birth to these kids. These kids are all cognomens for Moshe. Moshe's called Bitya's son because she raised him. He has a different source. You have redeemed the children of Yaakov and Yosef. Did Yosef give birth to the tribes? Yaakov is the father of the tribes. Since Yosef fed them in Egypt, they're all called Bnei Yosef. He has a parallel thing called Hamalamed Ben Chavero Torah Melav Katuv Kili Yado. If you teach somebody Torah, it's as if you were their father. Shinemar Ve'ela Toldot Aharon Umoshe Ochti Ve'ela Shmot Bnei Aharon. Who are Toldot Aharon Umoshe? Aharon's kids, because Moshe Malacha Aharon Yalad Moshe Limeid Hichnikral Shmos. Since Moshe taught Nadav and Avihu Elazar and Tamar, they're called his kids. Now we have a parallel piece. Lachin Kol Maradona Beit Yaakov Asher Padat Avraham. That's the pasuk. Where did Yaakov ever redeem Avraham? That Yaakov saved Avraham from having to raise a lot of kids. Yaakov doesn't have to be embarrassed from his father. His face doesn't have to be blanched. Meaning, because somebody had to have the 12 kids. So Yaakov, having the 12 kids, saved Avraham that trouble. When Michal is first given to this fellow, he's called Palti ben Laish. But after, when David claims him back, he gets him from Paltiel. Yochanan Paltishmo. His name is Palti. Paltiel. So why does he get this name Paltiel? Shepalto el min Avera. God saved him from Avera. What happened? Me'asa. Na'atzcher ben olavena. Here he had the very beautiful Michal next to him in bed. He put a sword between them. Anybody who tries, either one of us who tries anything sexual will be hurt by this sword. And that's why how he never touched Michal, because she wasn't properly married to him. But when David claims her back, Paltiel is called her husband. And he walks with her weeping. Because they became close like husband and wife. But he was weeping. Why was he weeping if she's being taken from him? He should be happy. Because he had this great mitzvah of conquering his Yetzer Hara, and now he wouldn't have the chance. Ad Bachurim, he walked with her until Bachurim, which is on Har Zeitim. They became both like young children. They were pure and innocent. That which Yosef was very strong about, Boaz had already conquered. And Boaz was nothing compared to Palti, who really conquered himself. Let's see. In the middle of the night, Boaz is sleeping on the granary floor, and Ruth sneaks up to him, and he wakes up, and there's this beautiful young woman at his feet. That his skin became like lefatot, like turnips, and it's very, very hard. And nonetheless, he didn't give in. And Palti ben Laish was even stronger than that with the sword. Famous pasuk in Eshet Chayil. What does that mean? You are the greatest of all women. Rabot banot asuchayil ze Yosef uBoaz. Atalit al kulani. You're the greatest of them all. Ze Palti ben Laish. Shmuel Nachman of Yonatan, he says the same idea on the next pasuk. Ma'ariv shekrachen ve'aval yofi. Shekrachen, charm is false. Ze Yosef. Hevel hayofi is a Boaz. Yirat Adonai titelah ze Palti ben Laish. The one who really fears God. Tavar Acher, and I have another drush on the same piece. Shekrachen ze derosh al Moshe. Hey, had it easy. Hevel Yofi ze derosh al Yoshua. They also had it easy. Yirat Adonai titelah ze derosh al Chizkiyahu, where things were not as easy and they were still committed. Tavar Acher, and this is really beautiful. Shekrachen ze derosh al Moshe vi Yoshua. Hevel Yofi ze derosh al Chizkiyahu. Yirat Adonai titelah ze derosh al Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi. This comes to the recent generation of Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi. There were six Talmidim who used to have to gather and cover themselves with one garment in order to study Torah, whether it's because of warmth or because of poverty. But in any case, they studied and they were committed in very, very poor conditions. Beautiful drasha on a very beautiful pasuk. We'll end at this point and pick it up with the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Gimel. In the second parak. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.